Those who bear false witness and work to deceive others know this. There is but one truth. All things are known to our Maker, and He shall judge their lies. All things in this world are finite. What one man gains, another has lost. Those who steal from their brothers and sisters do harm to their livelihood and to their peace of mind. Our Maker sees this with a heavy heart. Transfigurations 1:1 through 1:5.
Dust is cleared. The darkspawn are dead. Collectively, you have almost no choice but to take a breather here. Just to recap the rules of taking a breather, you can take a break for 5 minutes after a combat encounter. We assume that wounds are being bandaged, breath is being caught, and everyone can recover 6 plus your constitution score in health.
Could we also make a major action if we have any healing kits left?
Yes. If you've got bandages left, you can take the heal action.
Cool. Does beat an 11 with my cunning. 5 more.
Sir Bridget is probably among the most seriously wounded of the entire party. She is seated on a rock. Her sword is lying in the grass at her side, and she is slowly and painfully wrapping bandages around that gaping bloody wound in her thigh where one of the blight wolves chomped down at her.
Xavier would like to go over to her. Excuse moi, do you need any assistance?
She looks up, blinks at you, seeming to be momentarily confused, maybe a little bit of shock. And she says, who are you?
Oh, we were hired to come and help find these children.
She looks around at the two children. Hannah is now sitting up, and Joseph is offering her some water. The children are talking quietly to each other. And she says, All Neruda's children, do I know you from somewhere?
Me? No. You do not know me?
She says, Strange. Feel like I do. She puts her hands to her sinuses for a moment, as if the sudden pain is shooting through her. And she says, I'm all right. I just need a moment. We should burn those darkspawn bodies.
Let them do that. I want to look at your wound to see if it's similar to mine.
What do you mean?
Those wolves, they bit you.
You think I'm tainted? Is that it? I'm not. She struggles to her feet. I'm fucking fine.
Don't get mad at me. I was bitten by a fucking bird, of all things, and I'll show her my wound. I just want to see if you're okay or not. That is all.
She says, You hear stories. That's how the taint spreads, from the darkspawn blood, or from bites. But I don't know.
I watched you in that fight, and you were wounded, grievously wounded, and yet you kept fighting. I think you are a good person.
Yeah, well, swore an oath, didn't I? Got to get the kids home. That's the important thing. We lost most of the escort. The bodies scattered from here all the way back to the waypoint. We should probably bury them.
I think we need to get the children back first before things get worse.
Hira and Vari, you notice that Alenka and Sir Blaker have been speaking with each other. Alenka says, We encountered too much resistance, simply too dangerous to return. Blaker says, I agree. Children, Joseph, help your sister. We're headed back to Denerim and stay with me until Al Neruda can get the region under control. Sound good? Sure you got used to that Denerim cooking, eh? No good out here. You'll be happier once we're back in the city walls. He looks over at Fira and Vari. He says, So, we'll be taking the kids back to Denerim.
Do we actually think that it's going to be safer there than it is on the road closer to the Arl's castle?
Can you doubt it?
Looks around at the carnage. Why were they there in the first place? I don't recall. Perhaps it's the battle fatigue.
I was escorting them back from Denerim.
And what were they doing in Denerim rather than with their parents?
Well, of course, Al Neruda wants his daughter to be seen in society. She is almost of marrying age. Her debut will be approaching, you understand. I'm not much of a social butterfly myself, but there are all sorts of events for a young noble woman her age to attend. Get to know people. Complicated business, I'm sure, must be difficult for a circle mage to understand.
Would any chance of like religious lore about the nature of how societal behaviors exist work as a role to judge if I'm just being lied to or dismissed?
You can make a communications test.
Great.
And you can, if you have the empathy focus, you could apply that.
I do not have the empathy focus. I did get a 16 with one is 17 on communication.
You suspect that that is indeed why the children were sent to Denerim, because Arl Neruda would like his daughter particularly to marry well. However, you also know, Vari, that that is impossible because she's a mage.
Is there any way for me to glean on that role whether or not that could have been, I hate to say it this way, but it is Dragon Age. Is it possible the Arl was just conveniently putting his daughter in danger so that he would not have that familial, hate the word taint in this context, but the idea that since mages tend to not be looked upon until we are of a certain stature, that perhaps he staged this?
It's hard to judge Arl Neruda's motives without Arl Neruda here to defend or explain them, but I'll say you can make a cunning check, and if you have the investigation focus.
Do not have the investigation check, but that is a 10.
When the children were sent to Denerim, the Darkspawn threat wasn't prevalent. So it is likely they all would not have known he was exposing his children to any particular danger by sending them on this trip. Alenka says, so, it's settled. Sir Blaker will return with the children to Denerim. The rest of us shall return to Stenhold to inform the Arl. As we discussed, she looks over at Xavier.
How do I say this? Fuck you?
I beg your pardon.
What? You not know the word?
She says, I believe we had an understanding.
No. No, no, no. I listened to you. I did not agree to this. I am tainted by that fucking bird, and I think that I am going to not be long for this world. So, I am going to do what I was charged to do. My last act as the piece of shit that I am is going to be something good, and I am going to take these children back to their father.
She blinks at you once, and she says, well, I must say, this is terribly disappointing.
I am disappointed in myself as well, but this is how things go sometimes.
Sir Bridget says, what is going on? And Sir Blaker says, Sir Bridget, we're escorting Arl Neruda's children back to Denerim.
No, you're not.
I'm inclined to agree. I will not be leaving without our charges.
Alenka turns to Vari and she says, Vari, you are a novice. I am your superior in the order. You and your friends are to return with me to Stenhold. Is that understood?
If I may say politely, I have just gotten the shit kicked out of myself twice, and this piece of shit and this noble woman are actually quite good at protecting people. Also, this young girl clearly needs training, and while mine may not be advanced, I am far fresher than you at training them.
Sir Bridget turns to Xavier, and she says, what does that mage mean? She points to Alenka. What did she talk to you about?
She offered me a deal. She said that we should take the children with that noble knight over there, and that we should ransom the children and get lots and lots of gold, which honestly sounds nice, but I will not have that as the last act of my life.
Alenka says, surely you're not going to believe the word of an Orlesian mercenary over a Circle Mage and a Denerim noble. Sir Bridget says, he's dying. We both are. Got no reason to lie. Sir Blaker says, Sir Bridget, stand down. We're taking the children to Denerim.
Sir Blaker, he has many debts, yes?
She turns to you and he says, you know, I was killing Orlesians in the war. Wouldn't mind adding one more to the tally. Seems to me like everyone's pretty fucking wounded. He thumbs to himself, except me. His hand drops to the hilt of his Morningstar. We're doing this the easy way or the hard way, boy.
I think that we are doing this the way that I will kill you, sir.
Sir Bridget reaches down, her knuckles close over the bastard sword, and Blaker says, Bridget, leave that fucking sword alone. Alenka starts edging towards the kids.
Bridget, join me.
She says, sir, we're taking the children to Stenhold.
I'm gonna move towards Alenka.
Sir Blaker says, fuck. He starts swinging the Morningstar, and he says, hard way it is then, and we are in initiative.
Oh, yeah. No.
Here we go. Need a good roll here.
And doubles don't count in initiative, right?
I know, I'm so mad.
My first doubles of the day. I'm like, ugh.
It's so rude. The lack of doubles is very rude.
I'm assuming the kids were listening to this whole conversation.
Yep, everybody heard everything. Xavier, what did you get?
A 14.
Ira, what did you get?
I also got a 14, and my dragon die is a 6.
Bari, what'd you get?
That is 18.
Swords and staves are being pointed. Everyone is at very close quarters to each other. Accusatory looks. People are edging closer to their allies or their victims. Vari, you've got the first move.
He's going to make an attack on her. That is 14 and 4 is 18 to hit.
Yes, that is certainly going to hit.
No doubles. 10 damage.
Cracker across the back with the arcane lance. Her rock armor is still up and does absorb some of that, but she is going to take some damage. She gasps and staggers, and she says, "The circle will hear of your betrayal, Vari."
It's not a betrayal to protect children.
I think I'm also heaving with the effort of we are not ready for this fight.
Fira's turn.
Fira is going to attack Sir Blaker. With my battle axe, I'm debating here, do I need to use a minor action to ready this axe? I would assume
during this conversation. I'm going to assume everyone's starting this fight with their weapons out. Yeah.
Great. So then I've got my mace and my axe already out here, and I will go ahead and take a swing at Sir Blaker with my axe. 15 to hit.
15 does hit.
Lovely.
Any doubles?
No, sadly. And that's going to be 12 damage.
You slash him across the chest with the axe. His heavy leather armor absorbs some, but certainly not all of that.
Great. And then I'm going to go ahead and use an activate action to activate my dual weapons again with a +1 to defense.
Got it. Xavier's turn.
Xavier's going to duck down really low. Don't hit me! And he's going to hide behind Fira and kind of just run around her in between Alenka and Vari and try to sneak attack Sir Blaker. So you have to roll perception.
Yep.
Oh, 19?
13 for him.
Okay, so I get my sneak attack.
Yep.
Ooh, got some doubles. 15?
Yep, 15 hits.
And I have doubles that I have 2 on the...
Dragon die?
Yeah. So I'm going to add an extra d6. So I'm going to do 3d6, 19 points of sneak attack damage.
Wow. Okay. The sword bites between two loose chinks in his armor as he's distracted by Fira. His armor's going to block some of that, but not a whole hell of a lot. He gasps. Red blood runs all the way down your blade to your hand. He's very badly wounded after that shot. Turns and snarls at you. Anything else, Xavier?
Are you sure you do not want to yield, sir?
He exchanges glances with Alenka. She shakes her head.
Okay.
Hannah charges Alenka, and she says, "I'm going home." And her eyes glow again, and she gestures towards Alenka. Her voice becomes supernaturally deep, and Alenka's going to have to make a strength test, which Alenka succeeds. So Alenka's like the wolf, lifted up off her feet and smashed to the ground. She lies prone, but unlike the wolf, she is not stunned. She is just prone, but while she's in that position, anyone else will have a +1 on their attack rolls against her. And after doing that, Hannah again crashes unconscious to the ground. Ugh. Joseph runs forward with his sword and stabs at Alenka, but his blade rebounds off of her rock armor spell, which is still active. Sir Blaker dodges away from you, rolls beneath Fira.
No.
Makes a feint at Sir Bridget, and he's going to try to backstab you, Xavier.
Me? He's going to backstab me?
He is a rogue.
That's my job.
So you must make a perception test contested by his dexterity.
All right. 13.
You got a 14.
Where did he go?
He reappears on the other side of you, Xavier, and slashes at you with the Morningstar.
Does he get a +2 like I get?
Yep. Did get doubles.
Uh-oh. Au revoir.
17.
Oh, yeah, that hit.
11 damage, minus your armor. And he's got stunt points. He's going to pierce armor, so that cuts your armor in half.
That's awesome.
So your armor is reduced to
two.
You take 9 damage.
Okay.
And he's still got 4 more stunt points after that. He also has a special thing where that pierce armor only costs him 1.
That's just for this round, though, right? That I lose my...
Oh, correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that was for this attack specifically. Right. Okay, he is going to lightning attack you.
Okay.
That is going to hit. It's going to be 11 more damage.
Minus my armor.
Correct. He still has 1 more stunt point. He's going to skirmish himself away from Fira a little bit. It is Sir Bridget's turn. She screams and charges right at Sir Blaker and swings her bastard sword at him. So yeah, certainly going to hit. And she got 6 stunt points.
Oh, wow.
She runs him through. He is not surviving that.
Ooh, nice.
Punches her bastard sword through his breastplate. He collapses dead to the ground. Alenka looks at the fallen Sir Blaker. She looks at Vari next to her, and she runs. Vari, it is your turn.
Yeah, I'd love to try and make another attack.
Sorry, what are you attacking with, Vari?
Arcane Lance, the regular attack. 8 and 6 is 14 to hit.
So yeah, you definitely hit her.
It's 9 more damage.
That is mitigated by the rock armor. Okay, yeah, you blast her in the back as she flees. Fira's turn.
Oh God, I'll run to her anyway. We'll see. We'll see how far I can get. Okay.
Did have to use your both
but
actions.
If I do that, yeah, if I run, I'm not doing a hell of a lot else.
Right. You do get right up behind her.
That's fine. I'll do that. I scream an insult at her and hope she feels inclined to stick around.
I'm holding my sword. Can I just drop it and draw my crossbow?
You're not putting your sword away. You're just dropping it on the ground.
Correct.
That's fine. And then you minor action ready your crossbow.
Right. Yep. And I had loaded it in the previous fight. Okay. So I'm going to then take a shot at Alenka with my crossbow. 14.
That hits.
No doubles, unfortunately. 12 points of damage.
Ooh.
I told you to yield. We will not let you go. Yield now.
She turns around and she says to you, Fira, I told you, I don't know much of the ways of dwarves. We don't have them in the circle because your people are bereft of magic. But I'm not above giving you a small sample what it's like to feel the fade. She reaches towards you, her hand crackling with eldritch energy. Spell succeeds. No doubles. Okay, you must make a constitution stamina test.
I'm rolling my d6 plus my constitution.
3d6 and add your constitution score, yeah.
Great. 14.
Okay, here's the good news. 14 is the exact number that you needed.
Oh!
Bad news is you're still going to take 1d6 damage. Okay. But this could have been way worse.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
3 damage, which incidentally is penetrating, so not mitigated by your armor. But that is all that happens. You feel your life being drawn out of your nose and mouth, but it dissipates in the air between you. She clearly tried to drain you to heal herself, but she did not succeed in healing herself and only slightly wounded you.
Incredible.
She's going to run again.
Any chance that my 16 yards could still hit her if I wanted to?
She's 24 yards away from you, even after you move.
Even after move? Okay,
yeah.
Well, then I guess I'll have to defend myself against her lies.
Just sort of stand between her and the girl as she runs away, so that if she looks over her shoulder, he's just sort of standing there, cape billowing, staff planted.
Anything, Fira?
Not unless I can somehow reach her with one movement. I don't think I can. Let me count that out. I could reach her on one move.
You can.
Okay.
Yep.
And I counted it out, so I ran, right? My major action was a run, and in one last desperate attempt here, take one swing with my battle axe, screaming, aiming for the throat, because that's worked. It's worked for me before. 18 to hit.
Absolutely.
And I did get doubles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But only the dragon die is only 2, so don't get too excited. It's something. So I'm going to go ahead. What's her armor like? What's she got going on?
Well, she's got this glowing rock armor just like Vari around her.
Right. Well, then that's what Fira would do. So Fira's going to use that to try and pierce armor. And then
so that will have her armor rating.
Okay, so that would be a 10 points of damage.
10 points of damage. Her armor with the rock armor was 4.
Okay.
So that cuts it to 2.
Okay.
So you do 8 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
She had 9 hit points. She has 1 hit point left. As you slash her with the axe, she staggers away from you, leaving blood on the roots and vines and bark of the trees as she stumbles into the dark forest. I think, Xavier, for all the marbles, what are you doing?
God.
Well, he's got to reload his crossbow, so he's going to... I have to. I don't... I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll get as close as I can, and I'll reload my crossbow. Come on, come on, come on. Try to do it as fast as I can. That's my turn.
Okay, the kids certainly aren't chasing Alenka, and it is Alenka's turn next. And I'm going to say, if she uses 2 minor actions to run, we're probably losing her here.
Yeah.
So you see her break away from you through the forest, Fira. She gets about 20 yards away from you. You can still see her now blood-splattered, elegant robes fluttering in the half-light. And suddenly a dark figure steps out from behind an oak, raises a greatsword, and almost holding it at clothesline height, cleaves her head from her shoulders as she runs forward through the woods. She never even saw this
what?
Person.
Oh.
Okay. What are you doing? What are you doing, Dungeon Master?
What?
Stepping out.
Here's the big bad.
Behind the tree.
I'm unwell.
Is a powerfully built, towering, middle-aged, grizzled human man. Black hair streaked with gray, black beard speckled with white, wearing unremarkable dark leather armor, and he immediately draws a cloth across his greatsword, steps over the body without looking down, and he says, "Greetings, been tracking you for some time. I heard the Darkspawn, and I knew they must have found you first. I'm Duncan, Warden Commander of the Grey Wardens of Ferelden. I believe there are those among you who may have need of something only I can offer."
Hi everybody, Tal Aviaser from Cast Party here. We hope you're enjoying episode 4, the finale of Podcast Party Dragon Age, the 3rd of 3 miniseries presented in partnership with Green Ronin Publishing. The show will be back shortly for the 2nd part. You can check out all of these systems we've been playing, the Expanse role-playing game, Fantasy Age, and Dragon Age, at greenronin.com. And you can learn more about Green Ronin's 26 years of TTRPG publishing at atomicthinktank.com. We hope you're enjoying this series of Green Ronin games. If you want to hear us play more of the Expanse RPG, and or Fantasy Age, and or Dragon Age RPG, let us know by joining us on Discord, Patreon, or emailing us at info@cast-party.com. We're going to take a few months off from actual play podcast releases before we return with a new show in fall 2026, so look for announcements soon about our next game. We're very excited about it, but not quite ready to share details yet. Between now and then, I will check in monthly with new episodes of Power Word Talk, so you won't miss us too much. The cast of Podcast Party Dragon Age includes the amazing Katie Lear as Fira. Katie is the co-founder of Young Dragon Slayers, an online community where kids and teens can play Dungeons & Dragons in a safe, inclusive, and supervised environment. Young Dragon Slayers gets to know each player as an individual, and then thoughtfully matches them with an adventuring party that fits their playstyle and interests, to encourage genuine friendships and satisfying gameplay. Whether they're seasoned experts or total beginners, they help D&D-loving kids find their people. Learn more at youngdragonslayers.com. If you're a member of our Patreon at the hero level and above, you're listening to this episode 1 week earlier than the general public, and we thank you so much for your support. If you'd like early access to the podcast, as well as downloadable TTRPG content created by us, please join Cast Party's Patreon. I will include a link in the show notes. And if you really like us, you can join at the champion level like James Bowie, Robert Rocky, Jerry Corliss, and John Marku White, and get a special shout-out on the show. Cast Party's professional game masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons adventures, as well as other systems like Dragon Age. Details at cast-party.com. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Game Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games. Only at Describe.com. That's DSCRYB.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review, and join us on Patreon and Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND or on Blue Sky at CastParty. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure.
You've come just in time. Please follow me.
Yeah, I suppose I lead him back to this to this crew.
All of us except for the kids are bleeding.
Yeah. He arrives at the clearing. Sir Blaker is in a broken heap. Everyone is quite badly wounded. He surveys the camp. Without much comment, he aids in binding wounds. You can all go ahead and get one more breather here.
Thank you.
Recover 6 hit points plus your con score.
Right.
He says, I heard enough to know what has befallen you. I am a Grey Warden. We bear a sacred burden. For an age, we have protected the lands of men. But now a blight is upon us, and we dare not falter. The best of us must take up our banner to save us all from annihilation. We are the Grey Wardens. He holds out one hand to Xavier and one hand to Sir Bridget, and he says, join us.
Okay. Xavier will take his hand. A little nervous, but he'll do it.
He says, you others. He looks at Vera. He looks at Vari. He says, keep the children safe. You have not been tainted or bitten.
No.
No.
In these desperate times, I think you will be needed as well, but I will not offer you the joining at this time. Please lead the children a short distance away from here. I must speak to your two friends alone. We will join you shortly.
Fear nods and heads in the direction of the children.
Would I know, I don't know if arcane or religious lore would get me anything about wardens and blights. Patrick's excited.
So I don't think you need to roll to know that each of the four blights, and the most recent one was hundreds of years ago, ended only with a Grey Warden slaying the archdemon who led the blight.
Yeah.
But the wardens have many secrets. You're not sure by what methods one becomes a warden. You know that they do have something called the Order of Conscription, which is basically they can demand that anyone join, and the people that they select are required to obey. But in this case, that did not seem to be what this man Duncan was doing. He was offering Xavier and Sir Bridget the choice to join. Beyond that, you don't know. Nobody knows.
I think I'm going to go over to the kids. I'm going to get down on a knee and start talking to them about how brave they were, bringing them a little bit closer to the northern side past the steps here so that there's some privacy.
Hannah says to you, you saw. Mother says I wasn't meant to show anyone, but the wolves would have eaten us. I had to.
You did have to, and you made a very difficult decision.
Are you going to tell?
He's going to put a hand on her shoulder and say, I think the question now is not about whether we are telling anyone, but rather how best to make sure that you can keep it under control and use it to your advantage.
If I go away to the circle, Father will hate me. He wants me to get married.
Do you want to hide this part of yourself?
She says, I'm afraid. I don't want it. Can you just take it away?
Oh, my child. That is not how the arcane works, unfortunately. How about this? Once those folks over there are finished talking, we're going to have a little bit more better understanding of where to go to stay safe so nobody attacks us again. And until you are being given a choice, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, adults are very strange, I will stay with you and teach you what I know,
until it's time to make another decision, and you and your brother learn how to continue defending yourselves. How does that sound?
Will you help teach me how to do it?
It would be an absolute honor to do my best.
Mother says if mages aren't careful, demons come.
When we knocked over Alenka, is there any chance she dropped her staff?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's still there.
Great. I'm going to hand her my staff. I'm going to hand the girl my staff and say, hold this for a minute, will you? I'm going to pick up Alenka's staff. Is there anything notably different about it? Do there seem to be any sort of runes or a gemstone, anything that would signify that it's more powerful than mine?
Certainly more expensive. There's a large blue crystalline gemstone at the head of the staff, and there is copper and silver threading attaching it. You know, this sort of ornamentation would be frowned upon in the circle, yeah. But she's been working as an attaché to this noble.
Yeah.
So there's a certain elevated elegance about the aesthetics of the staff.
I'm going to look down at the child, and I'm going to say,
well, the person who was supposed to be my superior did something very, very naughty, and I had an apprentice's staff. Why don't you hold on to that apprentice's staff, and maybe I'll teach you some things, and I'll use this little one until we get rid of it.
And I'll wink at her, and I'll sort of give a couple flourishes and sort of repeat the motion until, like many children do, they try to copy adults and show her how to start going through some of the more basic positions for staff holding so that when she comes of size and age where it's a better fit, that my full-length quarterstaff could work as a sort of apprentice's staff for her.
She turns to her brother and she says, Joseph, I'm going to be an apprentice. And he says, well, I stabbed a wolf with a sword. I'm not sweating it.
And they will sing deeds of your bravery, young man.
Fira slaps him on the back and says, plenty you can do without magic. You're not so bad with that sword.
He says, I saw you fight. You're brilliant. And you've got two things.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that they call her Fira the Fearsome?
He says, you don't mean it.
They absolutely do.
That's going to be my name when I've killed a whole bunch of darkspawn myself. Back in the clearing, Duncan regards you and he says, Xavier, Sir Bridget, we Grey Wardens pay a heavy price to become what we are. Fate may decree that you pay your price now rather than later. The Grey Wardens were founded during the First Blight, when humanity stood on the verge of annihilation. He draws forth a chalice from his pack, and he crumbles up some dry herbs into the bottom of it. He then draws a vial of glowing blue liquid. The light reflects off of his face and hands. He unstoppers it, pours that into the chalice. He then produces two vials of jet black viscous liquid, one larger than the other, pours those in as well. It's a swirling mixture of blue and black, combines and crackles with energy. So it was that the first Grey Wardens drank of darkspawn blood and mastered their corruption. He holds up the chalice. This is the source of our power and our victory. Not all who drink the blood survive. Those who do are forever changed. This is why the joining is secret. It is the price we pay. Sir Bridget, step forward. Xavier, step forward.
He does.
He passes the chalice first to Sir Bridget, still holding onto it with one hand. He says,
join us, brother and sister. Join us in the shadows, where we stand vigilant. Join us as we carry the duty that cannot be forsworn. And should you perish here, know that your sacrifice will not be forgotten, and that one day we shall join you.
He releases the chalice and nods. Sir Bridget, trembling, says a prayer to Andraste, to the Maker, closes her eyes, raises it to her lips, and drinks. Duncan swiftly takes the chalice back. She pauses for a moment, coughs, gasps, chokes. Her eyes go wide, her pupils and irises turn blood red, and black lines of corruption spread from her eyes and from her mouth. Her hands grip her throat. She gasps for air, staggers, sprawls to the ground. Duncan says, I am sorry, Sir Bridget. She gives one final gasp and then collapses dead on the ground in the clearing.
Xavier catches her before she falls and lowers her gently to the ground.
Xavier, he hands you the goblet.
Are you sure you want me? I am a coward. I am not a good man.
When they recruited me, I was picking pockets in Orlais.
Okay. He swirls the chalice like one would a glass of wine, and he sniffs it. What does it smell like?
There's a mixture of smells. It smells coppery. You recognize the smell of blood. Mm-hmm. You recognize the rot of the darkspawn. Something else. Mineral. Electric. Something that, as you bring the chalice closer to you, makes the hairs on the back of your hands and arms stand upright, almost like electricity.
Okay. Maybe not the best wine I've ever had, but here goes. And he will drink.
You drink it down. So, according to the Dragon Age sourcebook, the basic rule is that a hero who undergoes the joining ritual must roll 3 dice, and if they are triples, the player dies.
Oh my god.
Can I roll them one at a time?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
A 6.
Okay.
Where have they been all night? A 4 and a 2.
You feel a moment of stabbing, inexpressible agony. The music that you've been hearing wells up to an unbearable crescendo. The clearing and Duncan vanish, and you see a great, blighted, monstrous dragon rising up in the darkness above a horde of darkspawn. And the dragon sees you and roars with rage. But then the music mercifully recedes, the vision ends, and you no longer hear those beautiful chimes. There's a moment of longing for them, and you recover yourself.
I think that I can, I think I'm okay.
He says, from this moment forth, Xavier, you are a Grey Warden. It is finished. Welcome.
Thank you. What is my next task?
Well, there is blight. You and I, my friend, are headed to Ostagar. But there are others we must recruit along the way. And you've got a lot to learn. We're going to kill an archdemon. You're going to guard them. He points towards your companions, but you have the sense that he means all of society. You'll guard them, and they'll hate you for it. People will do their best to forget how much they need us. And that's good, because we need to stand apart from them. It's the only way we can ever make the hard decisions.
I think that I am okay with that. I'm used to people hating me, so I am good with this.
For now, I think we'd better return those children to their parents.
I agree.
You head back to the southwest with Arl Neruda's kids, without Alenka, obviously, Sir Blaker, or any of the rest of the escorts. The mother receives the children tearfully. The father, with a grunt and a nod, Arl Neruda receives you. He says, get them washed, filthy little urchins. And he turns to you and says, well, you've done it then. He pays exactly what he said he'd pay. 80 silver pieces, not a penny more. Duncan waits for you to conclude your business. And he says, you've already proven yourselves capable. Friend is now a Grey Warden. He belongs to the Order, but we could use any folk who can swing an axe and sling a spell at Ostagar. King Kaelin has moved the army south. It's a blight. We mean to end it before it spreads. Love to have your help.
Come on, you two. Avec moi.
Clearly can't defend yourself, you piece of shit.
I do have to ask, now that you are a Grey Warden, how much need do you have of coin? just asking as I contemplate my options.
Oh, I only have but one gold. And I pull out the one gold piece that I had from the very beginning.
In your pocket.
Mm-hmm. And I go to flip it to her, but instead I flip it to Vari.
Oh.
There you go. Pour vous, monsieur.
That was the test and you passed.
I think this will buy the girl a good tutor. I rather enjoy the company of both of you.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing better going on.
Duncan says there will be many circle mages at Ostagar. Perhaps I can have a word with King Kaelin. He and I are old friends. I'll have someone sent back here to take the girl to Lake Caladhad.
The boy was good with the sword. If you could keep them together, it might make for better training in these dark times for both of them.
He says, we may not make it out of Ostagar, and if we don't, that boy may be needed to carry on the fight. But from here, our road heads south towards the edge of the Korkari Wilds, and I'd be proud to share it with all of you. You make your way out of Senhold It's crumbling walls, rain-soaked doors, old men and boys training desperately for the coming fight, and having faced the Darkspawn in person over the past couple of days, you can't help but feel that they are wholly unprepared for what lies ahead of them. But you, perhaps, are not, as you join a great crusade to save Ferelden, perhaps all of Thedas, from the Archdemon and the hordes from the Deep Roads that threaten it. But maybe those are other stories for other times, because we have reached the end, at least for now, of Podcast Party Dragon Age.
Yay! And we made it!
Thank you all so much for
We didn't die. We got close.
Shocking. We came pretty close. Thanks for listening. Podcast Party Dragon Age was game mastered by me, Tal Aviaser, with Andy Canistra as Xavier, Katie Lear of Young Dragon Slayers as Fira, and Patrick Marin as Vari. This episode was edited by me, Tal Aviaser, and Carolyn Fox. Some sound effects in the episode are courtesy of Describe. Also, big shout-outs to Monument Studios and to freesound.org for sounds and music you're hearing on these shows. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in late May with a new episode of Power Word Talk. The mother receives the children tearfully. The father, with a nunt and a grot, and a nunt and a grot. Holy shit!
What is a nunt and a grot? Well, that sounds really cool. Well, actually,
I'll tell you. It is a nunt. A nunt is. I can't explain it.